In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. I'm glad to be with you today. Oh, yes. The name of Jesus is our salvation. Jesus is our salvation. He died on the cross for you and me. He was buried for you and me. And he rose from the dead. Hallelujah. Jesus is our salvation. There is salvation in no other name but in the name of Jesus. And the name of Jesus is what the church is called to preach, the person of Jesus Christ. Chapter 4 of Acts 23. After they were released, that's Peter and John, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and elders had said to them, not to preach any more in the name of Jesus, not to do miracles in the name of Jesus. When they heard it, they raised their voices together to God and said, "Sovereign Lord, who made the heavens and the earth, the sea and everything in them, it is you who said by the Holy Spirit through our ancestor David, your servant, why do the Gentiles rage and the peoples imagine vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers have gathered together against the Lord and against his Messiah." Oh, yes. They did not want us to preach in the name of Jesus. It's like that today. You will not mention the name of Jesus. You can talk about God, but who talks about Jesus? Jesus leads us to the Father. Our faith is Christocentric. It's Christ-centered. And he leads us to the Father. And the Father and the Son pour out upon us the great gift of the Holy Spirit. How we desperately need the gift of the Holy Spirit every day. Oh yes, how we desperately need the gift of the Holy Spirit. For in this city, in fact, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, gathered together against your holy servant, that's Jesus, whom you anointed to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. Jesus only did what he saw the Father doing. Jesus only said what he heard the Father saying. He lived by revelation of what the Father was saying and what the Father was doing. And now, Lord, look on their threats. Oh, yes. This is a prayer for us. Look on their threats and grant to your servants to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. You see, persecution did not cause John and Peter to die or to be fearful, but persecution called John and Paul. And now, Lord, look on their threats. The threats that said, don't preach anymore in the name of Jesus. And grant to your servants to speak your word with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. I tell you, God has not changed. He wants these things to happen. He wants his church to speak the word of God with boldness, boldness, boldness. He wants the church to stretch out her hands and pray for the sick. They shall lay hands upon the sick and they shall be healed. He wants his church to be Christ-centered, that we know Jesus and that Jesus draws us to the Father. When they prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. Ah, who shook it? Was it an earthquake? No, it was the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that came at Acts 2 on Pentecost. Now the place is shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. We need to be bold. We need to tell people there's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ the Lord. We need to tell people that Jesus gave us word and sacrament. Oh, yes. On the night before he died, he took bread and said the blessing and broke the bread, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body." Oh, yes. We need to celebrate the word of God and the sacraments of God. Oh, yes. It is Jesus who gave us these sacraments. We are to receive the Lord's body and blood. We are to receive the presence of God in the body and blood of Christ. Now, the whole group of those who believed were in one heart and one soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. With great power, they proclaimed the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them all. Why? Because they proclaimed Jesus with great power, his death, burial, and resurrection. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds, what had been sold, and they laid it at the apostles' feet and was distributed to each as each had need. There was a Levite, a native of Cyprus, Joseph, whom the apostles gave the name Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. Are you a Barnabas? Am I a Barnabas? Do we encourage people? Oh, yes. That's what we're called to do. Encourage people and bring them to Jesus. Oh, yes, I want to be Barnabas. I want to be a person that encourages you to read the scriptures, to go to confession, to receive the Eucharist. I want to encourage you to love Jesus and to praise him and to adore him, because he's worthy of praise, adoration, and glory. He sold a field that belonged to him and then brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. That's what happened. He didn't need to do that. He did it out of love. Barnabas, son of encouragement. Do you tithe your money? I'm just asking a question. Well, start again if you have stopped. Start again. We're not asking you to give everything over. We're asking you to give 10% over. And I know things are tough. Things are tough, and I know I've been in positions where I didn't tithe because things were tough. But my heart was in giving it. Chapter 5. But a man named Ananias, with the consent of his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property. What did they do with the piece that they sold? With his wife's knowledge, he kept back some of the proceeds and brought only a part and laid it at the apostles' feet. He didn't need to give anything to the apostles, but he said to the apostles, "I'm giving you all that I have raised from selling this property." Ananias, Peter asked, "Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, were you not the proceeds at your disposal?" Yes, they were at his disposal. But he said that he put it all at the apostles' feet. He lied to the Holy Spirit. It was all his money anyway. He didn't have to give a penny, but he lied to the Holy Spirit. "How is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You did not lie to us, but to God." Now when Ananias heard these words, he fell down and died. It's very sad. Very sad, because he lied to the Holy Spirit. He didn't need to give anything to the apostles, but he told the apostles he gave it all. He lied to the Holy Spirit and he died. and great fear seized all who heard of it. The young came and wrapped up his body, then carried him out and buried him. They gave him a burial. After the interval of about 3 hours, his wife Sapphira came, not knowing what had happened. Peter said to her, "Tell me whether you and your husband sold the land for such and such a price." She said, "Yes, that was the price." Then Peter said to her, "How is it that you have agreed together to put the Spirit of the Lord to the test? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out." They lied to God. They lied to the apostles. They didn't have to give anything to the apostles. The point is, they said they gave everything, but they held some back. They lied to God. Immediately, she fell down at his feet and died. When the young men came in, they found her dead. So they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear seized the whole church and all who heard of these things. Now many signs and wonders were done among the people through the apostles. Signs and wonders and miracles should be happening in the church today. Why? Because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You see, it takes no great faith to believe when I celebrate the Eucharist that it becomes the body and blood of Christ. But it takes faith for me to pray over a person and believe God is healing them right now. It takes faith. It takes faith. We buried Jean, and she was healed for 13 years from cancer. But this time she didn't make it, but she fought till the end. We had her come to the church, and we prayed with her for the last time, and her face was like that of an angel. Her face was like that of an angel. We laid hands upon her and asked God to heal her. God chose to take her. But you know what? She had the face of an angel. And they were all together in Solomon's portico. None of the rest dared to join them. But the people held them in high esteem. Why? They're doing signs and wonders and miracles. They're proclaiming the resurrection in the person of Jesus Christ. Yet more than ever, believers were added to the Lord in great numbers, both of men and women, so that even they carried out the sick to the streets and laid them on cots and mats in order that Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he came by. Imagine the shadow of Peter had power. We have that same power, the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to know that the Spirit of God rests in us. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, the Spirit of God rests in us. We would not be living if it wasn't for the living Holy Spirit. We would not be able to preach the gospel if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit. We would not be able to heal the sick if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit. We would not be able to absolve people of sin if it was not for the Holy Spirit. A great number of people would also gather from the towns and around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all cured. I told you, when I was in Arizona, we announced a healing service on Sunday, and there was only the Spanish people who came. The white people didn't show up. They had better things to do. Every Spanish person was healed that night, to one degree or another. This is God. This is God doing these things. This is the Holy Spirit doing these things. We need to know that the Spirit of God that was on the apostles is on us. We are the apostolic church. The Spirit of God that was on the apostles are on us. And they were all cured, the scripture says. Then the high priest took action, he and all who were with him, That is the sect of the Sadducees. The Sadducees were Sadducee because they didn't believe in the resurrection. Being filled with jealousy, just like with Jesus, jealous, arrested the apostles and put them in a public prison. You're going to suffer persecution for the sake of the name. And we saw when they did the experience persecution, they asked the Lord to pour out his spirit in a mightier way so that they would speak the word of God with boldness. They didn't go home and said, oh, we've been persecuted. No, they called on the name of the Lord, that the Lord would come with great power and do miracles and signs, and that they would speak the word of God with boldness. I wonder how many people are bold in speaking the word of God. How many people talk about heaven, that yes, to those who have given their lives to Jesus, heaven awaits them by the power of the blood. And for those who want nothing to do with Jesus, there's another place that they're sent to. I don't put anyone in hell because I have not died for them. But I know there is a hell, and I know people go there. The children at Fatima saw snowflakes entering into a bonfire, and they said, this is how people go to hell, in numbers like this. Now, I know that our visions are all imperfect, but this is what they told us. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, go stand in the temple and tell the people the whole message about this life, not only the evangelical message, but the sacramental message. Oh, yes, the sacramental message. Jesus, on the night before he died, said, do this in as often as you do this in memory of me. He said, often, not seldom. When they heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and went on with their teaching. Who do you think they're teaching about? They're teaching about the Master. They're teaching about Jesus. They're teaching about his Holy Spirit. They're teaching about signs and wonders and miracles. Oh yes, they're teaching that Jesus died for us, that he was buried for us, that he rose from the dead for us. When the high priest and those who were with him arrived, they called together the council and the whole body of elders of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. They're not in the prison. How do I know? An angel of the Lord opened the door and they went into the temple area. But when the temple police went there, they did not find them in the prison. Why? So that they returned and reported, we found the prison securely locked and guards standing at the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside. Oh, yes. How we need the work of holy angels. Oh, yes. How I need the work of the angels. Oh, yes. I remember one night the Lord said, my praises are being brought to me through the hands of angels. And I said, Lord, we could just praise you and it goes to you just that way. He said it, but I decided that my praises tonight would go through the hands of angels. When the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these words, they were perplexed about them, wondering what might be going on. Then someone arrived and announced, look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then the captain went and the temple police and brought them, but without violence, for they were afraid of being stoned by the people. The people knew that they had something that the Sadducees didn't have. They had boldness. They had power. They had the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is for everyone. We call it the sacrament of confirmation. But you see, that's a great sacrament. That spirit needs to be released in our bodies so that we would do the same things as the apostles did. When they had brought them, they had them stand before the council. The high priest questioned them, saying, We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name, in the name of Jesus. Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you are determined to bring this man's blood on us. But Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than men. The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, whom you killed by hanging on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior, that he might give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Yes, forgiveness of sins through the blood of Jesus. Repentance by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we are witnesses to these things. We witness the resurrection. He came to us several times. We are witnesses of the resurrection. We do these powerful things not because we do them. It is God himself doing these powerful acts of mercy, acts of healing, acts of wonders, acts of power. It is God doing this. It is God who raised up the man that was crippled by the beautiful gate. God has given to those who obey him the Holy Spirit. Oh, help us to obey you, Jesus, so we could get more of the Holy Spirit. Help us to obey you, Jesus, so that we would be filled with the Holy Spirit. How we need the Holy Spirit. Again, that baptism in the Holy Spirit, I would not be here preaching today if it was not for that baptism of the Holy Spirit that released within me the Holy Spirit that was all bogged down. When that baptism came and the Lord in the Eucharist told me, how much more glory can you give me? I said, much, Lord, and I was filled with the Holy Spirit. And that night began to speak in other languages. But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, he taught Saul, who became Paul, respected by all the people, stood up and ordered the men to be put outside for a short time. Then he said to them, he's the reason man, the man of reason. Fellow Israelites, consider carefully what you propose to do to these men. For some time ago, Thaddeus rose up claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 100, joined him. But he was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and disappeared. In other words, after his death, nothing happened. The people that followed him broke up, went home. After him, Judas the Galilean rose up at the time of the census and got people to follow him. He also perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. Because if this plan or this undertaking is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. In that case, you may even be fighting against God. They were convinced by Gamaliel, and when they had called in the apostles, they had them flogged. And the apostles were flogged for the sake of Jesus. And they rejoiced, I'm sure, because they were suffering for the name of Jesus. Then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and they let him go. They let them go. As they left the council, they rejoiced that they were considered worthy to suffer dishonor for the sake of the name. What's his name? For the name of Jesus. And every day in the temple and at home, they did not cease to teach and proclaim Jesus as the Messiah. Oh my. We need to proclaim Jesus as the Christ. Jesus as the Messiah. Christ equals Messiah. Christ equals Anointed One. Oh yes. We need to proclaim Jesus in season and out of season. When we feel like it and when we don't feel like it. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, Pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh in the womb of the Blessed Mother and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. You can go on inseason.net and leave a donation so that we can pay our bills. Or you can write Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father, help me to proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ with blessed boldness. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.